We discuss books we read and want to share with you,
as well as technology and productivity and sports, which is what we do by day. No, not really. Okay. Right now I have a swimming buddy, I have a running buddy, and I have a biking buddy. So I have like, and they are three different people. So this way I actually, you know, socialize more. Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to Michael's mind.
Exactly, because today we talk about sports and stuff. But before we do, I have a few announcements. Bragging rights.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you noticed, but we just crossed more than 400,000 downloaded episodes.
Wow.
Which is, we are closing on 500,000 downloaded episodes. So it's not that bad, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Like for our, you know, tiny podcast side project.
Yeah.
So,
how did this happen?
Yeah. It's really like, and we are constantly featured, you know, in Polish iTunes. So thanks for everyone. Thanks to everyone for you know, for supporting us. And thank you. And the episode 107, Simplify Everything, which was really good, got more than 10,000 downloads already.
Oh, so, really?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. I really liked that episode. So
yeah,
I'm glad it was appreciated.
So if you haven't checked the 107th episode, check it out. Simplify Everything. It was really good. It was really good. So, yeah. So it totally deserved the 10K it got. So, all right. So with that, and also another announcement, we keep trying to be professional about our podcasting endeavors, and we just scheduled our recording times and publishing times for the next 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm. So until middle of November. It's funny because the last time you were bragging about how professional we are and that we're also sorry that we're a week late, we ended up being 2 weeks late with publishing.
That's true. Yeah. But this time it's not going to happen because we are have the reunion next week. So there's going to be a live episode. So yeah. Again, that's actually a good reminder, because when this episode airs, it will be on Tuesday, next Tuesday, and we will be already on the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be recording hopefully on Thursday or Friday. So if you want to tune in live, you know, watch out for our Twitter and Facebook announcements, because we will be, just follow Nosby, and then we will announce when we will record live. So if you want to, you know, tune in live, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll link to some of the previous live episodes in the show notes for those who haven't been following. Twice a year, we meet up, the Nosby company, in one place. We normally work remotely and are spread all over Europe mostly. And twice a year we meet up in one place for a week. And this time it's in Wrocław, Poland. And we'll just spend a week together, have fun, and record some podcasts live.
Yeah, we record a live show. So it's going to be fun again. And yeah, as a listener, you will be able to participate on Facebook Live, I think, or yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Facebook Live was what we do. So yeah, it's going to be fun. Okay, so this episode is about sports. Why sport is good for you? Okay, so the thing is, some background. Just last Sunday, October 1st, I completed my 10th triathlon.
Wow.
I can't believe it's already 10th triathlon. So it's, well, that's why I decided, you know, let's just talk about it a little bit.
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. And not just because I want everyone to congratulate me right now and, you know, high five and self five. No, but it's more that, you know, I want to talk about my experience with triathlons and my experience with sports generally, and how I think triathlons are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And can be good for people. So with that, I want to start with the fact, of course, the good thing was it was my personal best, so good. I placed very high in the ranking, so 146th out of 218 people competing, But again, so it was funny when people asked me, so what's your place? And I really don't care because I don't do it for that. I mean, I'm not a pro. I do it for myself. So that's one thing. I do triathlons just for myself. The only person I'm racing is me or my buddy, Nick, who actually convinced me to do it. So we have this friendly competition with Nick that we try to, race each other, which is not fair because he's 24 years older than me and he still beats me. So, I want to be like him when I grow up.
Yeah.
So Nick is 61 and he's still beating, out of me. Only triathlon. So triathlons. First off, I started my first triathlon in 2014. Mm-hmm. 14 exactly. So more than 3 years ago. And what happened was that I was already on the diet that we talked about in the past episode. So the low carb diet that we discussed, how we shouldn't get fat and stuff. I mean, we discussed the book, why we get fat, and then the diet in a few episodes. Mm-hmm. We'll link to them in the show notes. And it was the moment when I was losing weight and I was running more. And the thing was that I really like running, and I have a running buddy. So another pro tip to have a running buddy, because when you have a running buddy and you schedule just once a week to meet with them to run, mm-hmm. you have kind of no excuse to not go there, because it kind of blows when you just don't go there.
It helps so much. It's such a powerful trick to use your to kind of use the social pressure, social accountability to do something like that. I use a similar trick when I try to learn to wake up at 8 a.m. every morning. And so I would make breakfast for everyone in the house. Uh-huh. And I would have to do it. Like, I have to wake up at 8 because I have, like, people are waiting for me, right? And again, I haven't been running much lately, but all the times where I would be most regular with running or going to the gym, it would be when I had my buddy with me and we would schedule a time and then we'd do it every week, right? It's a very powerful tool.
Yeah, so with my running buddy, it was the same. I just scheduled once a week, so not really, much. But the cool thing about it is that this way, once a week, you have guaranteed time you're gonna run, like in my case run, and then if you go out for a run another day, it's just a bonus. It feels like like special bonus that you just got. So with him I started running more and it was fun, and then but I always, like, in the back of my head, I always like heard about triathlons and I heard about the Ironman, people who are doing like this crazy stuff of first swimming, then riding a bike, and then running. And I had a history of problems with knees, mm-hmm. not much, but a little bit, and I had a small knee injury in 2012. And after that knee injury, one of the doctors said that I should stop running and I should just ride a bike. And then I read the book Born to Run, and I realized my doctor is wrong, and I kept running and everything was fine. But in the back of my head, I thought, maybe I shouldn't be just running, because mm-hmm. if you're just running, you're just hitting your knees all the time. Maybe I should, get a bike and bike a few times or something, And especially where I live, there are really nice bike routes here. So, it would be a good idea. And then there was like this one day when I drove my girls to school, and the teacher, like Nick, he's the teacher of, he was the teacher of my oldest girl. And I told him, I got my girl there, and I said, I'm running, and I know that you are fit. And he was like, yeah, I'm doing the triathlons. Hey, Michael, why don't you do a triathlon with me? I was like, no way. And he explained to me that there's this sprint triathlon, which is pretty short. Mm-hmm. So it's like 750 meters swim, 20 kilometers bike ride, and then just 5 kilometer run. So. And I said, and I thought, 5 kilometer run, after all this, I can do that. I mean, I should be able to run home, So I got tempted, I was first tempted to ride a daddy's bike, you know, there. But then he laughed me off and he told me to get a proper road bike. I didn't have one, so I borrowed one from a friend. And I enjoyed it. The road bike is... I thought road bikes are for, like, you know, for all like for some strange people, because I think the mountain bikes are the best things ever. But road bike is a thing. It's just very fast. It's very nice. So so I started riding the road bike, and it was like, you know, 2 weeks before the triathlon. So I didn't have time to prepare. And I also didn't swim, crawl. I could only swim the breaststroke. Mm-hmm. And I would ask, you know, if this is allowed, you know, to do the breaststroke, because it's slower than the crawl, you know, if I'm going to be just ridiculous or just everybody was going to laugh at me. And they said, no. In sprint triathlon, it's fine. It's a short one. It's a beginner's triathlon. So everything is allowed. I mean, you can do the breaststroke and you should be fine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the whole experience of my first triathlon, I wrote it up in a blog post, and we're going to link to it in the show note. But the thing is, I started it. And what I discovered over the triathlon, I managed to, you know, run, you know, to finish the triathlon, you know, to do the swim, the bike ride, and the run. Mm-hmm. There were some accidents in the during the triathlon, but anyway, everything is, you know, in my blog post. The idea is, I really like the fact that I have three sports now, and I have to train three sports now. This way, I have more variety, you know? It's not like I only go for a run, you know? If I don't feel like running that much, I can go for a bike ride. And if not that, then I can, you know, just go there. I have a gym here. I mean, a swimming pool. I can just go to the swimming pool and just swim for a while, you know? And especially after you've done like a longer bike ride or a longer run, sometimes your legs are kind of sore. So this way, when you go to swim, you just swim, and then it's just different. So I loved it. I love the idea of these three sports one after another, and I love the idea that I survived that. And the summer after that was fantastic, because I was just training, you know, in all of these sports. I bought a proper road bike. Actually, I bought a secondhand one from a friend, because he got bored with his, and he got a very fancy one. So I got his fancy one for half the price, which was great. Really, I got into it, and I started learning to swim crawl, which I still do very slowly anyway, but I started to learn, and just half a year later, I did my first Olympic distance triathlon, which is twice the length, so 1.5 kilometers swim, 40 kilometers bike ride, and 10 kilometer run in the end. So this is pretty, you know, this is pretty demanding already, and it takes, you know, a little bit less than 3 hours. So it's a longer thing, but I loved it. And so my first, you know, thing is that what I like, and since then I've been doing the triathlons and always the Olympic distance. I'm not, we'll get to this in the show in a little bit later, but I'm not trying to be some Ironman right now. I don't have time for that. But what I like about it is that really three sports. So there is always something to do, and there is always something that I can do to really, you know, to spice it up a little bit, you know, to go on a, you know, on a bike ride on a different route, you know, to run somewhere else, or to just swim, you know, sometimes in the sea, sometimes in the, you know, in the swimming pool, and do something else. And then right now I have a swimming buddy, I have a running buddy, and I have a biking buddy. So I have like, and there are three different people. So this way I actually, you know, socialize more by doing sports because I, you know, here I socialize with the guy I'm swimming with, and here I socialize with the one I run with, and here I socialize with a bunch of crazy guys I bike with, and it's fun. It's like another excuse to find new friends as well and new buddies, and also, you know, have fun in the process.
The first time I heard about the triathlon, I mean, it's such a strange combination. Like, what's, like, why? Like, what it makes no sense. Like, why would you have one sport, why competition where you swim, cycle, and run? It makes zero sense. But I can appreciate the fact that it's something that's cool to do, because, you know, precisely because you have three different competitions, and so you can do different things, you can train for different things, and your strengths and weaknesses in each kind of equalize, right? But because you train for all three, you can, you know, it's maybe not as boring, maybe it may be more interesting. And if you're doing it for fun and not competitively, then that's a big advantage that you keep the training more interesting and more engaging. And I didn't hear about the sprint distance. I don't know about swimming. I can't really swim. I mean, I can swim, but I can't swim, you know. And 750 meters sounds like a lot, but I'm not sure. I haven't tried to swim at a distance. But the other two parts, 20 kilometers cycle and 5 kilometers run, that sounds easy. So,
exactly. I mean, really, if you would just, you know, improve a little bit of swimming, it's fine. You would have fun.
Yeah,
it would be good.
Yeah, I would have to check my swimming, but it's something I would probably be able to do.
You see, I mean, that's why you can now understand why I was tempted, because when I heard about it, I was like, yeah, this is doable, you know, this is you know, this can be done, right? And for me, the swimming part was a little bit hard, because again, the breaststroke, mm-hmm. and especially when they start, I mean, the start for the sprint was like everybody went with crawl and they went very, very fast. And I was with my breaststroke, so I was really far behind, just in the very beginning. So, and with the sports, the funny thing is that everything is in your head. So the stories you tell yourself, it's gonna be like this. So, the first story I told myself, what am I doing here? This is ridiculous. These guys are so fast. I'm so slow. There's no way for me to compete this. I mean, to complete this. There's no way. But then I kept pushing, kept, you know, swimming my breaststroke, and then I realized that these people who started so quickly then just tired off very quickly as well. Yeah. And because in sprint triathlon, usually, I mean, there are professionals there as well, but usually they're more amateurs than in any other triathlon. So then I realized, you know, my breaststroke is actually as fast as some of the crawls there. And and when I was finishing the 750 meter stint, I just, you know, got out of the water, I realized that I have like 20 or more people behind me. So it was fine, you know, it wasn't that bad. So that's the thing. So you should really check out the swimming part. And for me, really, up until now, I do crawl now. I have learned it, and but I'm still slow. So for me, the crawl part is always, I mean, the swimming part is like to qualify for the rest, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And again, it's just fun. I like swimming. I'm just not fast at it, but I just like swimming, so it's fine. I'm just swimming, it's fun, you know, and I know that I'm gonna be slow, and I'm gonna be one of the last to leave the water, and I am. When I take out of the 220 people who completed the water, I was
210th.
I was like at the end. But the good thing is I was close to the group, so I wasn't really far away. Mm-hmm. With swimming, it's the question of 1-3 minutes, you know, when so it's not a big deal. And then I gained like 2 minutes, because I did the transition very fast, for example. So on the bike, I was with quite a big group already, you know. So, and then on the bike, I'm strong. So on the bike, I was just having fun and overtaking people and everything. So it was great. And then running, I'm not that good, but because there are really some good runners there. But anyway, you see, it's doable.
Yeah, but ultimately, it doesn't matter. If you're doing it for fun, it matters that you've completed it.
Exactly.
And maybe if you're feeling particularly competitive, that you've beat yourself, your previous record. So
it's yeah, fun. And then so again, now we're moving swiftly to this point, and which is really important. So I have a few friends who are doing triathlons as well. Mm-hmm. And they're also like me. They're also, you know, people who have normal jobs, or, you know, because I still, you know, run this company. So I still, you know, do some stuff. So they work normally and they do the triathlons. And very quickly, the good and the bad thing about today's time is that all of the gadgets and all of the, you know, equipment is very accessible. I mean, you can mm-hmm. really get a good road bike for not that much money. You know, from Decathlon or some, you know, other place, or just like I did, I buy a second-hand one, which is pretty good for, you know, not that much money. I mean, still something, but not that much. And then you have all these apps that measure you, and you have Strava and, you know, Runkeeper and all these apps that can measure you, and you can measure against other people. So what it's good that we can measure all these things, and we can buy these, you know, smartwatches, and you know, people use these Garmin watches and things, and I use still the Apple Watch, which I'll talk about later. Anyway, this brings, I mean, this is good that we can measure all these things, and we can, you know, track ourselves. And I say, you know, the only person we are competing against is ourselves. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what I would also say is that we should never outcompete fun. You know, the fun should be always the best, yeah. I mean, the best motivation. Because what I realized from my friends is that they start really getting serious about it. You know, mm-hmm. once they get, you know, the hang of it, just like I did right now, I did my personal best right now. But it doesn't mean I'm going to just right now drop most of my work and just start training more to be even better next time, you know. And it's good. You know, I'm happy. I'm in a good shape now. And I did my personal best. But it was lots of fun. But I know my constraints. I know that I will not be able to train every day. And I mean, I try to train every day, but I usually don't achieve that. And even if I do, it can be just one training. And you know, for 1 hour or something, or 1 hour and a half, maybe. But not much more, because I have a business to run, I have a family, and I have three daughters. So I have really stuff on my plate. So I should really, and I don't want to sacrifice, for example, my family life over mm-hmm. this, because I want to, you know, have time for my family life. But really, the danger is that once you like it, because it's pure drugs, man. It's endorphin. I mean, it's really, you know, when you run, when you go on a bike, it's just so much fun. It's really pure drugs. So your body wants it, and then you try to make, you know, place for it. And so it's really good also to schedule the trainings and to have and to recognize your constraints, you know, how much you can train, you know, and not try to be right now, you know, turn pro suddenly, you know, and be the next, you know, I don't know who. But so it's really important, because I realized I saw a few friends trying that and getting burned, getting just too serious, you know, sacrificing their life, doing, you know, trainings twice a day, you know, training for a better Ironman and then another Ironman, and then upping their game. And you know, I'm thinking maybe in 2 years, if I'm still in this great shape, I might do a half Ironman to celebrate my 40th birthday, for example, like, you know, nice. something like that. But if I don't, it's gonna be fine. I'm just gonna do another, you know, one of these races, and I should appreciate that I am in such a shape that I can do it. You know that I can do it, and I think this is like the ultimate, you know, for me, reward, that I am in a shape that I can do this, you know, and not push myself even harder and harder and harder, because this is like one of these dangers right now of comparing ourselves of all these stats and everything like that.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially that even if you're comparing yourself only to yourself, at the beginning you're weak, you have so much to learn, so much to train, so you improve quickly and you see, you know, big gains over time, and you keep beating yourself. And then over time you know if you're not super serious, and again, you're not supposed to be, it's just supposed to be fun, then you probably reach some sort of kind of natural ceiling in a way.
Yeah.
And then it's easy to, instead of kind of beating your record, start beating yourself up for not
exactly
beating those records. And that just makes no sense. And I guess especially that, you know, you're much more competitive by nature than me. So I guess it's more of a risk that that you fall into this trap, because like you do sometimes have this competitive streak, and so you want to. It feels good to compete, even if just against yourself, and to kind of reject that. You know, it might not be easy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm also recording this episode to not to just remind everyone else, but also to remind myself that really I do it for fun, and I do it for being able to do it, and I do it also. And so there's another thing. So why am I, you know, signing up for these competitions? You know, so because every competition, it costs money. There is like it costs more than $50 to compete in one of these competitions. And this year I wanted to do 4 triathlons. I did 2 only, but it's fine. Actually, what I discovered is 2 a year, it's fine. But 1 in the spring and then 1 in the fall, this way. And now, that's the trick. If you do 2, like 1 in the spring, 1 in the fall, the good thing is that you're always motivated to keep training.
Mm.
And for me, this is like the ultimate motivation, that I've signed up for it. I have already paid for it. So I better be in shape, you know? So it's not about, you know, beating my next record, but it's about actually being in shape and having fun. Because if you're not in shape, if you're like, because last year I did compete in a triathlon also here last fall, and it was right after my baby was born. So I wasn't really training much. I was training, not sleeping because the baby was born. Mm-hmm. So it was 1 month after she was born. And I thought, because I was training previously before the birth, I would be fine. And I wasn't. I hardly could run. I did my worst run ever. Yeah. And it's not about the time, but it's about, I felt really bad. I felt really, you know, I felt the wall, the famous, you know, runner's wall, that you just cannot run anymore, you know? And the only reason for me to finish was that there were my girls cheering me, and I cannot, you know, give up. I have to, you know, deliver this home. But I was really feeling bad. So now I know that if I schedule a race, a competition, I have to, you know, I have to be competing. I have to be, I have to be training. I have to go out and make room for training. And this way, even when we have lots of work at Nosby, we have like, you know, we just had, you know, a major release right now and major stuff happening. And now we have reunion. So there are always things happening at Nosby. So I can always have this excuse of a CEO saying, you know, there's just too much on my plate right now. Right?
Yeah.
But thanks to the fact that I signed up for next competition, I have to make room. I have to make time for training, you know, even just for a short run, even just for a short bike ride, you know, I have to make time.
Yeah, I can really feel the part about sticking to training. I've been away traveling for 5 weeks, and then before that, I was busy preparing and whatnot. And I can really feel that after like 1.5 months of not training or anything like that. It's, you know. It deteriorates quickly, but then again, it's still much easier to get back to it than, you know, it as if I was not training at all. But it takes a while.
Yeah. So for me, this is like one of my motivations. And another thing, as I mentioned before, my triathlon buddy, who I'm competing with, Nick. Kudos to Nick. He's 24 years older than me. So he's 61, and I keep telling him, Nick, I want to be like you when I grow up, because for me this is like the ultimate testimony that if you're doing sports regularly, you can be in shape even at 60, you know. And he's in such a shape that he beats me on every race, right? So he's a very good swimmer, so he already gets an advantage there. On the last triathlon, I managed to beat him on the bike and running, but it was still not enough to beat him overall in the race.
Mm.
So that's good. I'm improving, but he's still better. But it's amazing. I mean, for me, he's like my ultimate inspiration, because, you know, I have this, you know, 60-year-old guy who's just a great guy, and he's in such a great shape. And, you know, we always, among us here, other biking friends, we're always looking at Nick and like, we want to be like him when we grow up. So so whenever somebody's complaining about their, you know, their age, you know, I'm 50 something. Oh, it's not that as easy as it was, whatever. I'm like, huh, I know Nick, you know, everything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. On my trip to Panama, I met this older lady who was, I think, 67. And mm-hmm. she's from Colorado, and she was in Panama for like 2 years now. She's been in a ton of other places, traveled half the world. And I was, you know, it has nothing to do with sports, but I was quite impressed that at this age, she still wants to. She still feels
right?
like it. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I also want to be like her. I don't want to, you know, get to 50 or 60 and be like, nah, it's time to just sit down in front of the TV and spend the rest of my life doing that.
Right.
It's, no, that's boring.
No, no, I mean, you're like, judging by what you've achieved by your age right now, like, don't worry, just keep pushing. So that's the ultimate inspiration as well. So like to see these, you know, people and just seeing them, and you see other, and it's the same, you know, just seeing other competitors. It's fun. I mean, this is what happens to people, you know, to anyone who signs for any race. I mean, if you sign up for just a running race, you can see so many good runners who are just you know, older than you, or like, you know, like just on this race, I was running and I had really great pace. I was like, yeah, this is good. I have good pace. It's good. Yeah, yeah, I'm strong. Good. And then I see an elderly lady just overtaking me. And I'm like, seriously? And well, and she was really like, you could tell from her body that she was old, but she was, you know, training a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she just overtook me. And I'm like, come on,
yeah,
come on. But then, you know, then it's great. I mean, it's amazing. You see these people and then you just believe that anything is possible. And I think, so another thing I wanted to give here with these tips is that with sports, the cool thing is that you learn to be more, because this is my problem always, to be more regular with things, you know, to be regular. I mean, we always talked about about habits here on this show, like how it's difficult to create these habits and everything. Consistency, yeah. And with that, with this cadence of race and having to race and then, you know, forcing myself to train and to do these things, it just helps me be more regular with that. And then it translates also a little bit, I think, to work. Mm. Then I try to be more regular with other things as well, because I have to be regular with that already. So I think it does translate a little bit more into that. And it helps me. It helps me stay focused, and it helps me. And of course, what we already discussed in this show, on this show, is that whenever I'm going out for a bike ride or a run by myself, then I'm listening to podcasts or audiobooks. So
yeah,
I'm living a double life anyway. So again, it's a good excuse. I think we mentioned that in one of the episodes, that I don't go out for a run. I go out to read.
Yeah. I fell out of that habit over the last many months, but for a long stretch of time, this has been very motivating to have the two things kind of feeding into each other. Me feeling like doing more kind of physical activity, not necessarily running, maybe going for a bike or maybe going for a walk, but just being more physically active in all the ways, because I felt like listening to a book, but also listening to books more because I felt like going for a walk.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And so the two things really reinforce each other very much.
Yeah. So now, for example, another thing is that I am trying, in each of the sports, I mean, again, the good thing about triathlons is that in each of the sports, I'm discovering the new things, like, you know, the subtleties, like what to do to be a better, you know, biker, to better runner, better swimmer. And there are so many things to each sport. It's amazing. Like it's like each sport has like so many things to give, mm-hmm. and so many things to learn. Like it's incredible. Like for me, with biking, it's not only about, you know, pushing hard on the pedals, but it's also the technique, you know, how you should approach a certain kind of, you know, terrain or road, and you know, the corners and things like that. And then with bike, with running, you know, we have this this Nosby How template that Marcin, our podcast editor, created to train to be a better runner. And there's like there are so many different kind of trainings you can have, like for different heart rates and, you know, different zones of heart rates and things like that. And with swimming, I'm learning this total immersion technique, which is really cool, because it's like a crawl, but it's a nice, I mean, it's, for me, it's a nicer crawl, because you don't have to kick so much, and you still swim pretty effortlessly. So so for me, again, it was also a path of discovery. Of learning, and I am a learner, of these three different sports, which I thought I had some clue about, but then I realized over the course of the last three years that there's so much to learn in each of them. So it's also like kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and I think with all of those little things, just little nuances of how you how you run or swim, the lodios of how you do your stroke or whatever. The framework of deliberate practice seems to apply quite nicely. We've discussed it on the show, in the show notes, mostly in the context of kind of intellectual pursuits, but there were many examples in the book from sports, actually, and I think it would fit quite nicely to have this framework in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned in one of the shows that I use deliberate practice for my swimming, that I do swimming practice, I record myself, I send a recording to my trainer, and I get feedback, and then I watch some videos to improve this kind of aspect that I just didn't do well, and try to improve it. I record again, I get feedback, you know. So I get, I do the whole deliberate practice thing. The same with running right now. We share a project with Marcin, and each training he knows exactly. I know, and he knows what I should be doing. And then once I've done the task, so the training, I put him, I put comments in the task to tell him how it went. And he also has he also shares my Runkeeper data, so he can see actually how it went. And then he can tell me, okay, Michael, you should do this, or you should, you know, try this, or, you know, try that. So again, deliberate practice helps a lot. And that even people like me can, you know, train and improve. And again, I think this kind of deliberate practice sessions again help me, I think, translate a little bit into other parts of my, you know, of my life. That's why one of my friends who used to be a professional sports person, he told me that very often professional sports people are good business people, or because they have this. They understand the habits. They understand the consistency. They understand cadence. They understand, you know, how to persevere. And they understand when there is a problem, you know, okay, it hits you, but then you stand up and you try again, right? They don't give up so easily. Like they have all these traits that are really important to succeed, you know. And
it's interesting. It's really interesting.
And these traits from sports translate into traits in life. And that's why I think, you know, sports should be a part of our lives. You know, even, you know, not everyone has to do, like, as I said, Ironman or really professional triathlons or whatever, or even, you know, amateur triathlons. But as you said, you know, any kind of activity and any kind of, you know, small deliberate practice or small, you know, habit of doing something, and it's fun.